بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's superiority over us is unimaginable. The greatest of us in the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like nothing. And the worst of us in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing. In fact, we know from hadith that even if there's a person, no matter how much you praise Allah, it doesn't change the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we all stopped praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would still remain great. Now, if you look at little children, and I see this in my daughter all the time, so that's really why it comes to my attention, they make the biggest deal out of what grade they're in or what level they're at. So my daughter will come home and she'll say, well, I'm a kindergartner, but the first graders, they did this. And next year, I'm going to be a first grader. And the six-year-olds, they can do this, but the five-year-olds, they can't do that. So in her eyes, there's a huge difference between a five-year-old and a six-year-old. And there's a huge difference between a kindergartner and a first grader, and a first grader and a second grader. But when I sit and I listen to her tell the stories of the first grader versus the second grader, to me, they're all just kids. What the first grader can do and what the second grader can do, it makes no difference. Even though it may seem that the second grader has so much more ability than a kindergartner, in reality, when I look at those people, and if any of us were to sit down and look at, we saw a five-year-old kid and an eight-year-old kid, we would say they're just children. They're all just a bunch of children. In the same way, in the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's magnificence and His glory, even the best of us, we all seem like children compared to His greatness. And this is a very, very important principle of tasawwuf that people have to understand. It's so unfortunate that when people begin to get a little bit religious, they start coming to the masjid, they begin to read the Quran, they begin to follow the Sharia and the Sunnah, then they start looking at everybody else as if they're superior to those people. So somebody, he starts coming to the masjid regularly, then he says, look at that person, he doesn't come to the masjid. Look at that person, he doesn't come to the masjid. Look at that person, he doesn't come to the masjid. So he becomes super critical of everybody else around him. But in reality, all of us are a bunch of first graders. Somebody is in third grade, somebody is in kindergarten, somebody's in preschool. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's nothing. It's nothing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because His greatness is so supreme that us as individuals make no difference to it. And so the only people that lose out with that type of attitude is actually us ourselves. Because when that type of pride begins to enter into our hearts, then it takes a very, very long time for it to go away. And so we have to be very, very careful. If we come to the masjid, and we have the tawfiq to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have the tawfiq to follow the sunnah of the Prophet, what do you think, we did it? Was it something that we did? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened our eyes, and He didn't open the other person's eyes. It's everything is from Allah. It has nothing to do with us. We're not any better than anybody else because they don't perhaps come to the masjid than we do. In fact, we're probably worse. Because we have understanding and yet we continue to commit all these crimes against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those people don't know. They don't know, and they're actually doing their best, and they'll come into the masjid once in a while and drop a tear and leave, but we come with all our pride and magnificence and assume that now Allah is no longer the judge on the universe, we are. So now we can say that that person is good and that person is not good, that person's going to go to heaven and that person's going to go to hell. Who gave us that right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has the right to judge. We only have the responsibility of judging ourselves. That is where our responsibility lies. And we're so quick we know for 100% that we are corrupt inside. But if there's even the doubt of corruption in somebody else, we're so quick to pick it up and point it out to others. The doubt of corruption in somebody else's heart, we can pick up and point out to the whole world. When we have doubt about it and it's not 100% sure, but the certainty of the corruption that exists within our own hearts, we cover it up with a smile every day. We have to be very, very careful as we progress down this path of trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Shaitan knows. He knows how to distract each and every individual from the path. In fact, my teachers used to say that the Shaitan of an alim is an alim. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He appoints certain shayateen to each individual. And my teacher used to say that the shaitan that's assigned to the alim is an alim. So what does that shaitan do? He knows fiqh. He starts telling you the insides and outsides of fiqh so that you can make excuses. Right? So you'll go to the market and you'll look at the thing you shouldn't look at, and then the shaitan will teach you, will tell you, well, the first glance didn't matter because you happen to know that hadith. So the shaitan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigns to you, or actually that shaitan assigns to you, actually has, he knows exactly where you are, and he knows exactly the way to trip and trick you in your current state. And one of the ways he does this is that he begins to create within you pride and criticism. Pride that you are better than every other Muslim in the world, and that if you didn't live, Islam wouldn't exist. That you are the biggest gift to Islam, and you are the only one who truly understands Islam, and if you are not present, then how will anybody else understand it? So that's the first idea he puts in your head, to make you assume that you're superior to everybody else. And the second idea he places in your head is that he teaches you to pick on everybody else's weak points and to ignore your own, when it should be actually the opposite. Mawlana, I think this is actually an occurrence that occurred either with Mawlana Rumi, or with Hassan al-Basri, or Bahuddin Naqshband. I can't remember which one of the mashayikh that this occurred with. But on one particular occasion, and I think this is Mawlana Rumi, he said that I learned all of tasawwuf from a dog. I learned all of tasawwuf from a dog. And then he continued. Tasawwuf means the purification of the soul, you know, removing pride, removing criticism of others and turning that criticism towards you, improving your character. So he said, I learned all of this from a dog. And then he continues. And he says, one day it was raining and there was a muddy path. And there was a dog sitting on in the way of the path, right on the street, and on the paved area. And if I had to cross that path, I would have to walk in the mud in order to traverse the path. So I thought in my heart, Mawlana Rumi thought in his heart, that if I tell this dog is already najas, he's already impure. So if I wake up this sleeping dog from the path and have him move, the sleeping dog is already dirty, he'll go in the mud and he'll sleep somewhere else. But my clothes are clean. So I'll go ahead and wake up this dog, and I will tell this dog, I will make the dog move, and I'll preserve my clothing, and I'll walk through the clean path. At that moment, it came into his heart, the thought came into his heart, that if you do this, you may keep your clothes, they remain clean, but you will have soiled your heart with pride, thinking that you're better than a dog. And if your clothes get dirty, you can wash it away with water. But if your heart becomes soiled with pride, it will take you years to wash it away, and it will take enormous amounts of effort. So after that, he used to say that I learned all of the tasawwuf from a dog. Meaning our ulama used to teach that you have to look at other people as if they are far superior to you. And you have to look at yourself as the worst of creation. In what way? Meaning if there's a kafir, that kafir has the possibility at any moment of taking the deen. And if he takes the deen, his tawbah and his kalima will make him far superior to you. And if there's a Muslim and he seeks tawbah, you have no idea what he truly is. He may be praying all night in his house. So you should assume that every human being is better than you. And so this is the actual characteristic that we should have within our minds. that despite our knowledge of the Sharia and the Sunnah and our effort towards this deen, there are actually no greater criminals on this earth. Because we know what we should be doing. We know exactly what we need to do and we don't do it. And there's so many other people out there, they don't know what to do. So it's very difficult for them. They have an excuse, but we have no excuse. On the Day of Judgment, what will be our excuse? We knew exactly what to do, and yet we broke every single law. So if we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within us this characteristic of critiquing others, of critiquing. That is an innate characteristic that exists within us. But it's our responsibility to take that criticism and turn it inward. And when you do that, then you begin to slowly discover the faults that exist within your heart and within yourself. And that's actually how you'll begin to improve and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you take that criticism and you apply it to others and you say, look at him, he doesn't pray. Look at him, he doesn't come to the masjid. Look at him, he does all these wrong things, then you'll have completely lost out. Because you will assume yourself a judge and you will take the role of Allah, and on the Day of Judgment, you will be in big trouble. You have no right to judge other people. The Prophet ﷺ told us very clearly, somebody who says the Shahada, a Muslim is defined as that person who another Muslim is free from his tongue and his hands. Meaning another Muslim cannot be harmed by a Muslim in order to be defined as a Muslim. We have no right to harm another Muslim with our tongues, nor do we have with our hands. In fact, our ulama, based on the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said you should make 70 excuses for someone, say that after making 70 excuses, you should make 70 more. So if you don't see someone praying, you should assume that he probably prayed in his house. Why do you have to automatically assume that that person doesn't pray? If you don't see someone in the masjid, assume that they must have gone to another masjid. That is the way that a Muslim is supposed to be. They should assume from another that that person is far superior to them. Because that person has taken the kalima. They have that right upon you, that you have the most positive thinking that you can about them. And in the same way, where this characteristic of criticism exists within us, we should apply it to ourselves. So we came to the masjid for one prayer, so what? We should have been here for two. So you came to the masjid for two or three prayers, so what? We should have been here for five. One time one person wrote to his sheikh, "Oh my sheikh, I performed so much sajda that there's a black mark on my head. I performed so much sajda that there is a black mark on my skin from doing so much sajda." The sheikh wrote back, "So what? When the ground has a mark, then you write back to me." Meaning when you've marked the concrete with your forehead, then you write back to me and tell me what you've accomplished. So when it comes to ourselves, we should not think, wow, we're so great, we come to the masjid, we follow the sunnah, we follow the sharia. Yes, in the eyes of the kuffar, when you look at the kuffar, you can think that. That subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with this deen. We are far superior to them in the sense that we try to act upon this deen. InshaAllah, may Allah give them the tawfiq to do it. But when it comes to a Muslim, you have to be especially careful how you look at the other Muslim. You have to be especially careful because the Prophet ﷺ told us very clearly that we need to make 70 excuses for every Muslim and that we have no right to harm another Muslim with our tongue. Now we live in a day and an age in which everybody is ready to criticize everyone. And in reality, if you just look at the world and open your eyes, you'll see that it all means nothing. My daughter is a 5-year-old. There are 6-year-olds in her class and there are 7-year-olds that she knows in her school. And it's the biggest deal for her. It's the biggest deal in the world that she's 5 and they're 7 and she's in kindergarten and they're in first grade. And to her it seems like there's a difference of the earth and the moon between them. But in reality, when I look at them and when we look at them, they're all a bunch of kids. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are all a bunch of weak human beings. Striving and tripping on our own feet. And the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who's great. He is the only one who has grandeur and He is the only one who deserves to be praised. So if you have praise for anything, save it for Him. And if you have criticism for anyone, reserve it for yourself. Because that's the way that you begin to improve and increase yourself on this path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.